Welcome, everybody. It's Elaine, and it is Thursday afternoon, 3 o'clock Eastern Time on April 13th of 2017. Today we're going to talk about celebration and championing, which is a lot of fun. I won't say it's my favorite because I always say that, but it's a great topic. It's a very inspiring topic to talk about, so looking forward to it. Let's go ahead and start with check-ins and see where people are today. And as I say, it's very possible that a few more people may join us as the day progresses, but let's start with where we are. Yep, see somebody already started. Molly, there you are. I was just thinking about you. Actually, I was just about to send you an email. Perfect timing.
Okay.
Sounds like my house.
This is Amy. I'll go ahead and go.
Okay.
So we're doing okay. I've had a couple of epic realizations. Not bad, just really good.
Epic realizations. That's awesome.
Yeah, sort of like, wow, okay, that's weird, but good to know. I took Ian, my son, we just took an afternoon and went to a movie, and what unfolded in my brain was just like guilt and worry and like all these things, and it was just interesting, and I wound up actually sitting and talking to him about it and just saying, hey, I would like to tell you a little bit, just, you know, appropriately, what's going on in my brain. And he was really cool about it. So
that's cool. So
yeah.
What was important for him to know from your perspective? I don't mean the details, but like what was compelling you?
You know, there was something about, and I, you know, I wasn't trying to turn him into my best friend or anything like that. Weird. It was just sort of, I think, sharing with him, maybe modeling, I guess, sort of,
mm-hmm.
Hey, I've got these feelings, and they're surprising to me, and I want you to know that if you're sensing me being distant or odd, it has nothing to do with you. It's me trying to relax and not do something.
Mm. Wow, what a great, great thing to share with him. Like, wow,
yeah.
I struggle with stuff too.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what it was like. I wasn't trying to process with him or anything. It was more just trying to model that slowing down and stopping and trying to figure out what I was feeling.
Well, there's a lot of there's emotional intelligence in there, or practicing emotional health by talking about it. There's transparency, being forward with him, honest, modeling.
Yeah.
Cool. Good stuff. I think that qualifies as a celebration.
Yeah, maybe. You know, I'm still not very good at the order of what goes on here.
No, there's not, because I'm always changing it, but, you know, check-in / celebration, but
yeah.
I think that what you're sharing is this is sort of this thing that happened, but it was sort of good, even though it was weird.
Yeah, it was really good, because it actually, for me personally, kind of translated to some other issues in life.
Mm-hmm.
Having to do with being a human doing instead of a human being.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was my note to self.
Yep. Beautiful. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks.
And I think for those of us as adults who struggle with ADD, for many of us, that's one of the ways that it shows up is this sort of constant doing, that stimulation seeking manifest in what can I get done now? What can I get done now?
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, playing hooky and going to the movies can be really, really hard. But, wow, what a powerful connection time with your kid.
Yeah, it was great. It was just, you know, I recognized that, you know, the movie we wanted to go to was full, so we were going to go to another one, you know, maybe an hour later. We were hanging out in Barnes & Noble, and instead of just wandering around the bookstore with him, you know, I'm, like, trying to figure out if there's a book I need, what can I do productively, what can I read, is there a magazine article?
Right.
It's like, you've got to be freaking kidding me. Like, I should be going and looking at comic books, and I'd go to do that, and then my brain would just wander away from him. So it was just really bizarre and really so in my face.
Mhm. Yay. So, for you.
Yeah.
And extra brownie points for recognizing it. You know, for not just pushing it away and dismissing it, but saying, wow, there is something going on here.
Yeah, well, to be fair, it wasn't going to allow itself to be pushed away.
Yeah, all right.
Kept getting worse and worse when I tried to push it away.
Awesome.
It was kind of funny. But yeah, you're right. Thanks.
Gotta love the brain. Cool. So who else? Celebrations or checking in?
Well, I'll go. This is Molly. So a couple things. First is that we have been, we decided to take Ren off her antidepressant. She was trying Lexapro, which is the third SSRI that we have tried.
Right.
And was really not getting any relief, and I was just kind of at the end of my rope with her psychiatrist. And we met with a new psychiatrist, and actually we went to the Amen Clinic. And it actually was amazing. Everything they said jived with what my gut has been telling me for about a year and a half, but what three other psychiatrists have refused to hear or
which
consider.
Was?
That the medication wasn't working.
Right.
And increasing it, or then switching to something else, and then increasing, and then switching to something else, and just wasn't working. And so I feel like we have a different roadmap to start to follow now. So that feels more hopeful.
They give you some nutritional stuff too. They're really good at that.
Yes. So we're kind of still in the process of that, but it feels calming to me and also to Ren to say that my lived experience, that like kind of someone is validating it actually with science, that traditional approaches have not, you know, have not accepted. Anyhow, she's up until today, she's been so irritated with me that every time I speak to her, I get this really snippy, irritable teenage sass.
Response, yeah.
Yeah, and I know part of it is the medication, part of it, you know, I know there's a whole lot of reasons. So today we were meeting with her ADHD coach, and I just, in that environment, she was a lot calmer, she had better energy, and I finally said, you know, I know that I'm anxious about your situation, I know, and I'm really struggling with trying to remain calm and figure out ways to support you, and I feel like we need to work on this collaboration process together. And because the other thing she does is anytime I ask her a question, she's just like, I don't know.
Yeah.
So I said, first of all, do you really understand that I am trying my best to support you?
Mm-hmm.
And she did say yes. And I understand, you know, knowing in your head is different from actually being able to act
say
on it.
Out loud. Yeah.
But she did verbally say that. And then I said, and, you know, what I need you to do is to be willing to think deeper about solutions and to tell me what you need and to tell me if I'm doing something that's not helpful.
So you designed with her.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And I have her buy-in as of this morning.
Awesome.
So that feels really good.
That's amazing. So just, and I don't know if we've talked about on this call or not, but what Molly is modeling here is a design we do when we work with coaching clients. It's called a design alliance, where it's you sort of put forward and you say, this is what you can count on me for, and this is what I need from you. And it's a really great structure for communication, particularly with teenagers, especially when you start with, can you tell I'm trying to help you here? This is what I'm trying to do for you, right?
Right. And saying, like, I don't know exactly what you need.
Yep.
So I am trying my best. So kind of have patience with me and be willing to work with me.
Yeah. No, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. And if you haven't read if it's new to those of you who, to the other of you listening, there's an article on the site called Relationships by Design, and it sort of describes this process a little bit. But bravo, Molly, because it's a hard thing to do, and the impact of it is so profound. Right?
Yeah,
and,
I mean, I'm hopeful.
I
know there's going to be backsliding, but I'm just
of course.
Hopeful we can. I can just return to that. Remember when we had this conversation? And so,
yeah, brilliant.
That's good.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Andrea, what about you? Check-in / celebration.
That was really great, what she just said, because I have a lot of the similar things with my daughter. But I guess one thing we've been doing lately, and we've been pretty consistent about it, is our family's been having a weekly meeting. So we schedule this meeting every weekend, and we try to go through we try to start with compliments for everybody, and then just talk about kind of like logistical things, you know, schedules and any issues, problems that we need to solve together. So it's just been really good. I mean, everybody has been coming to the table and willing to work on it, and it just seems to help us get kind of on the same page at least once a week.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody knows kind of what's going on, and it just helps us communicate.
I love it.
Yeah.
Did you ever listen to the webinar on how to have a family meeting?
No.
There's one in there, and you may want to just check it out at some point. I mean, it sounds like you're doing great. You're doing it. So don't stress it, but it may give you a little tweaks and pointers.
Okay.
You know, there might be a couple of gems in there that you haven't thought of.
Okay.
And it's in the webinar section.
Okay. I'll look for it. How to have a family meeting.
Something like that. I think I want to say I did it a year ago or so. So if you scroll down for the top, it wasn't too long ago. Maybe it was 2 years ago. But because it's one I've done a few times. But I think you know, there's one version of it on the site. Because I agree with you. I mean, I think there's a lot of power in family meetings. And what I just want to acknowledge about what you're doing is starting with keeping it open and celebrations and sharing and compliments. It's not about, okay, this is the time for mom and dad to push our agenda through. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what so many people do with them, and that's why they're so destructive instead of constructive in a lot of families. And it sounds like you're doing a really good job of creating an open space where everybody can come together.
Yeah, yeah. And it's been great. We each take a turn being the leader. So.
Yes.
It's been good for my daughter, you know, because she feels like, okay, I'm in control and I know how to do this. And
love
it's
it.
Been wonderful for her.
have to tell you, we kept a family meeting notebook for years and years and years. And we've been packing to move, and I came across it recently. You know, 4 years or something of family meeting notes, because we had a notebook, and it was like, okay, what's the agenda this week, and, you know, whatever. And it's really cool to go back and see some of the conversations we had as a family, and it's so clear now why my kids get along as well as they do, because of that structure we had for so many years.
That's so great. I wish we had done it, we had started it, you know, sooner, like when my kids were little.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess we just, people weren't ready to buy into it. Like, now my husband, you know, he's bought into it, but I think before he wouldn't have maybe thought it.
Yeah, you gotta be careful of the woulda, coulda, shoulda. Here's where you are now. You're doing it now. You're seeing the benefit, you know, play forward and enjoy it. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Very cool. Very cool, everybody. Lots of wonderful successes and celebrations. And what I love is that nobody today was sitting here searching for a celebration. It's like, wow, this is something really different that's happening, that I can feel the movement. That's what I'm hearing from everybody today, is that, you know, you can sense the forward motion. Does that resonate for people?
Yes. Yeah.
And that's just awesome. So, and it's a beautiful, beautiful segue to today's conversation, because today we're talking about celebration and championing. But I guess before we do that, let's take a minute and go around and do a quick take aim and see where people are, if there's something you know you want to take aim on today. And then we'll move into celebration and championing. So who knows that there's some change you're clear you want to continue to see or continue to work on or something new?
Well, mine is doing a new collaborative scheduling with my daughter in terms of her schoolwork that she's still making up.
Sorry, I lost who that was. Molly.
Yes, it's Molly.
Okay.
So I'm Ren, and I have agreed to do a different kind of scheduling collaboratively.
Good. Okay.
For her schoolwork that she needs to be making up.
Great. And so, in terms of the context of this call, what's the change that you feel like you want to look for? I mean, that sounds like a structure y'all have put in place. What do you need to focus on?
Well, getting her to sit down with me daily to do little pieces of it.
So getting her to sit down with you daily is a structure.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that would be a result. The change you want to see, it sounds like, is to really continue to make this a really actively collaborative process.
Yes.
And one way you might do that might be meeting daily, but maybe not. There may be another way to do that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I guess also one of the changes is to have her consistently come to me to say, I've completed this, which is a cause for celebration, but also keeps me informed.
Right.
I don't know if that structure or
again, that's,
what
I mean,
you're
that, those
now.
And well, and it's the challenge is not to take aim on the structure, right?
Uh-huh.
Because we have this tendency, those of us who go to solution, right? And you've got that sort of mm-hmm. anxious tendency to go to solution. I will feel better when I know that it's done, right? So that's calmed me down.
Mm-hmm.
And so it sounds like really part of the management piece here for you is to sort of stay present to this collaborative process and to sort of to work on keeping your anxiety out of it.
Yeah, that's true.
Is that fair?
Yes.
Okay. And so celebration may be a great way to do that, and daily check-ins may be a great way to do that. There's lots of structures that might support you in that. But the change you want to see, the goal here, it sounds like, is to you know, sort of be present to the process without bringing your anxiety to it.
Right. Okay.
Is that fair?
That's perfect.
Okay. Who else? So I'm going to just say be present to the collaborative planning process with
okay.
Ren for now.
Okay.
Okay.
Sorry. This is Amy.
Go for it.
So real quick, Molly, it's totally cool what happened with Ren and the different doctors. It's awesome to hear that.
Thank you.
You're a kick-ass mom. It takes a lot to go against, or not go against, but just believe in yourself. So, way to go.
Thank you.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, so with Ian, and so I'm going to need some help sorting this out.
Okay.
He gets this thing where he just loses his sweet little mind. It's like he's on drugs all of a sudden, which makes me realize that it might very well be some sort of brain chemistry something, because it's so whacked out. And usually it's a trigger having to do with something that leads into a political discussion of some kind, and then it goes off the charts and either Trump or his stepdad is ruining his life. And all joking, I mean, I'm not trying to get political, but
no, it's okay.
I hesitate to use the term irrational because I don't want to dismiss his feelings, but the feelings really genuinely appear disproportionate.
Right.
And my biggest concern is safety, because it's happened. He's, you know, learning to drive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not – sometimes it comes on very, very quickly about something that, you know, we don't see coming. And I would like to find a way to either understand what it is or help him find a tool, skill, something to.
You're talking about emotional intensity.
Okay.
Okay. So for first, what I want to do is sort of normalize for you. So he's 15, 16?
16. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So right on time, right?
Okay.
I mean, you've got hormones going on. You've got lots of stuff firing. You've got the adrenaline, the fear. I think there's a lot of people who are suffering in this political climate right now who are scared out of their minds and feeling a serious lack of control.
Right.
And so, yes, it's disproportionate, because he hasn't learned emotional regulation yet. And if you look around your Facebook page, there's lots of adults who haven't mastered it either, right, in this climate.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, we are in a really volatile climate, which is not helping on the one hand. But on the other hand, maybe it is helpful, because if they can learn to manage this climate, they're going to be able to manage things a lot better when we come out of this cycle and get into whatever we get into next, right?
Right.
But what you're pointing to is that executive function challenge of emotional regulation. The highs are high, the lows are low, and I don't mean bipolar. I just mean there's this intensity to the feeling, and they feel things more, and they feel things stronger. So the fear is a greater fear. And, you know, on the good side, the happiness can be a higher happiness, you know, can be more elation.
Right.
But at that age, there's more angst, there's more fear, there's more disappointment. And he's feeling it more intensely than a typical kid might.
Okay.
Does that resonate?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the change that I hear you saying that you want to see is to help sort of, it may be about raising his awareness to it and beginning to help him learn to manage his emotional intensity.
Yeah, I think so. Because, you know, he says really cool stuff. I mean, he's got really great ideas. And,
you
know.
Yeah, he's smart and he's thinking and he's engaged and there's some really, really good stuff in it.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, I don't want to undo the awesomeness that's there. But he's going to get in a serious car accident or get the bejesus kicked out of him by somebody. And the other thing is, he's miserable. Like, I see him become so uncomfortable and miserable when the spinning starts happening. It's like this emotional Tasmanian devil.
That's a great way to put it, an emotional Tasmanian devil.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. And that is that a lot. Some of that is his age and his hormones, and some of that is the wiring on top of it. It's
okay.
Like typical teenage hormones magnified by ADHD.
Okay.
That's
got
what
it.
You're dealing with. It's, I want to say normal is a strange word for it, but it's typical.
Okay.
It's hard, but
but
just beginning to raise his awareness to it, to normalize it for him, to help him see that this is what's happening, will help him, will move you forward in that process of management.
Okay.
And it may be that this is a place where it's like, you know, we had a rule when my son first started driving, no radio at first. Because nothing that was distracting. And, you know, and then there is definitely, if you're upset, you're pulling over the car and you're stopping. Like, you cannot drive like that.
Yeah.
And it's not okay to drive like that. Nobody, including me, should drive when I'm that upset.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so I would rather you model for him turning, pulling over the car and stopping than trying to help him figure out how to reclaim his brain while he's in the middle of a highway or street behind the wheel of a car, right?
Okay. Yeah, got it.
Okay. So we'll pull back more to it, but that it sounds like what you're looking for is just beginning to help him raise awareness to his emotional intensity so that he can begin to start to manage it.
Okay.
And normalizing it for him.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool. Andrea, what about you? This is such a cool call today, y'all. This is so fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah.
Andrew, what's going on for you? What do you want to take aim on?
I mean, actually, what she was just talking about is similar to my daughter. I kind of realized that she has that emotional intensity. Like, her reactions to things just, to me, seem like way over the top, you know. But for her, that's the way it is. It's just, it's real. And finally starting to understand that that's the way it is.
Yeah. Well, so can I just ask a question? Do you remember being a teenager? Do you remember how intense the emotions were as a teenager?
Yeah. Yeah.
The tears were bigger, crocodile tears, right?
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
I do remember that. I don't know. I mean, sometimes I forget, I have to say.
Of course. That's why we're having the conversation, right? But part of this is recognizing what's going on in the brain. And then part of it is about setting realistic expectations. And it's probably not realistic to expect a, you know, 15, 16, 17-year-old teenager to always be on an even keel and rational and sort of appropriate with their emotional reactivity. They're not going to be. Even a typical teenager is not going to be.
Right.
I did this interview years ago with Jeff Copper with Attention Talk Radio. It was this great piece because he had this aha one day. He was arguing with one of his kids, and he realized that arguing with a teenager is like arguing with a drunk person.
Uh-huh.
Right? With all those hormones in there, there's just, you know, at some level, there's sort of nothing you can do. You got to wait for the cycle to go through. And trying to be reasonable or rational or convince them of something otherwise when they are in a triggered state. And they are more likely to be in a triggered state.
Yeah.
Just doesn't really make much sense.
No, it doesn't. And I think for me, something that I figured out that I have to learn how to, because when I talk to my family, I'll just talk about stuff, you know, stuff I'm thinking about and, you know, different things. It's just talking. It's like sharing, but I'm not really asking them to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
How I am. But I'm realizing that for them, my husband and my daughter, they take it differently. My husband definitely feels like he thinks I'm asking him to do something about it. And for my daughter, I think she's so sensitive that somehow, you know, she takes it either as I'm complaining to her or so I have to learn how to be careful when I'm communicating with her because it's not something that I'm, like, really upset about. I'm just sharing the things I'm thinking about, like what I'm doing, you know, during the day or something.
Right. And there's that tendency to overreact to it or to look for what am I doing wrong?
Yes.
Right. You're saying something innocently, innocuously, nothing to do with them, and they're feeling blamed.
Yes. Or feeling I'm expecting something from them. You know?
Right.
So I guess that's what I'm taking aim on is learning how to either preface what I'm saying by saying I'm just sharing or, you know, something like that or just to not, you know, to know when, okay, this is not a good time for me to say this stuff.
Right. So I think what I heard there is sort of how to communicate without putting people on the defensive.
Yeah.
Is that what's happening?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and it's it's a yes and to some extent with our kids at this stage and age, there's only so much you're going to do to not be able to put them on the defensive. Sometimes they're just going to go on the defensive, right? And I don't mean to say that you shouldn't try,
right.
But I do think it's important to set that reasonable expectation of knowing that sometimes they're just going to be defensive because that's how they're wired, and we're trying to teach them how to not be so defensive.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
But teenagers think everything's about them.
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
They really do.
Mm-hmm.
Pamela, I see that you're here. Welcome.
Hi.
I'm glad you're here. And we're having great conversations, so I'm not going to stop it. I'm just going to acknowledge you, and we're going to keep going, okay?
Good.
So Andrea, what I hear you taking aim on is really this issue of working on communicating effectively in a way that doesn't put people on the defensive. And maybe at some point, maybe it's part of this, and maybe it's, you know, the two sides of the coin is helping them, helping family members recognize when it's not about them, right?
Right.
Not to take
right.
things personally, right? So if you think about, if y'all ever heard the book, The Four Agreements?
No.
No.
If anybody's ever heard it, you can find it on our site. It's in the recommended reading on the site. Buy it from Amazon through the site. That'd be great. But if you decide to buy it, but it's the book of Toltec wisdom. It's an old book. It's a fabulous book. It's very short, very small, and there are basically four principles of Toltec wisdom to live by. And one of them is don't take anything personally. But it's really, really hard.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening, and that I hear in the dynamic is that you're just addressing something innocently, and members of the family are taking it personally.
Yeah.
So totally recommend the book, and your daughter would probably like it too. It's a really cool book.
Okay, the four
agreements, and as I say, you can just go to the recommended reading. It's in the inspiration section on the recommended reading on the site.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. It's a fun one, and it's really, really short. But I would say do not listen to it on recording because it's slow. It's much quicker read. I'm a really slow reader, and I couldn't listen to it. It was just too slow. Because it's, you know, it's got a meditative quality to the read.
Right.
Anyway. Pamela, do you want to jump in and take aim, or do you want us to just keep going? Because we have not actually gotten into our topic for today. So you tell me what your preference is.
Oh, my. No, just keep going. I got really kind of bad cold. I have a raw throat, and I slept much longer than I thought I was going to. So I'm just happy to be here listening today.
Good. Well, I'm glad you're here, and I would encourage you to go back and listen from the beginning when it's up on the site, because it really has been a fascinating conversation so far today, at least in my opinion.
Good.
Okay, so I'm just going to cover the topic really, really quickly today, because you guys have been doing this a while, and this is not new to you. But the topic is championing and celebrating. And there are a few things I want to say about it, okay? So you've heard us talk about the solutions are in the successes. And very often I think what happens with our kids, particularly by the time they get to be teenagers, and a lot of you have teenagers, right, is that we have been very focused on the big picture goals and we forget to celebrate the little ones. And so part of celebration, and let me tell you, when Diane and I first started Impact, the very first tip we ever wrote was on celebration. It's that important. It's so fundamental. And it's really about not waiting until you achieve that big, long goal, but it's really looking for the little celebrations and the little victories along the path and acknowledging them and recognizing them. And, you know, if your kid's not loading the dishwasher, but he picked up the plate and he brought it to the sink, that's, you know, acknowledge that, celebrate that before you say, but I asked you to load the dishwasher, right? It's about really looking for the little incremental successes instead of only looking for the end goal. It's the process. It's celebrating each step along the process instead of only celebrating the outcomes. And this is particularly, particularly important for our kids because our kids get so much negative reinforcement in the day and in their lives. And by the time they're teenagers, they've gotten so many years of it that the incremental celebrations, those little pieces, can be so powerful because they just need some wins. They need to feel positive about themselves. And the little celebrations are what keep their self-esteem up and keep them seeing what's working and let them take what is working and apply it to other things. That's where that whole solutions are in the successes piece comes in. I was talking to a mom today who's been in our programs for about 6 months, and she's in HR professionally. And she said she was laughing because she was talking to a manager in a work environment. And what she wanted to say was, catch him being good. But, you know, she adapted it to a work environment. But it's that same concept that's as applicable in our work world as it is in our personal lives. We all need to feel successful at what we're doing. We need to see what we're doing well and feel good about it. And our kids need it probably more than most. And so part of this tip today, this strategy today, is about really incrementally, little step by little step, looking at the celebrations. And then we tie that into championing because I think oftentimes we think of championing as, you know, standing on the sidelines going, got it, you can do it, I know you can. And it's really important for our kids to hear us say, I know you can do it, to hold that vision for them for what they can do for themselves, for what we see, even when they can't see it yet. And championing is also, it sort of connects to advocacy. It's also about holding a larger vision for them with other people as well. It's like it's the vision we hold for what they're capable of with the school when we advocate for them, what they're capable of in a sports environment or other environments, in the work world, you know, as our kids get through school and start moving into the work. I know it's hard for you to get started in a career or to look for a job or to hold down a job or whatever it is. And I know that you're going to learn to do this. I believe that you can and know that you can. And part of championing for us is holding that vision for them and knowing it for them until they're ready to know it for themselves. And there's a psychologist, Jerry Schultz, who's done some webinars on the site, which I would encourage you to listen to, on ADHD and anxiety. And he's a Harvard neuropsych guy. And he talks about, with anxiety in particular, that we have to be careful. If you tell a kid you can do this and they don't believe you can, that they can, then you can actually reinforce the negative, reinforce the anxious piece. So we want to be careful to couch the language so it's like, I know you can do this, and you may not know you can yet, but I know you will, right? Holding that vision for them that they will get there, even if they don't know it for themselves. I think with teenagers in particular can be really, really powerful. So I'm going to stop there and let's sort of see what comes up in the conversation, because we've taken aim on some communication issues. And celebrating and championing is really a really key aspect to positive communication. So I'm going to stop and ask sort of what's coming up for people in this conversation.
Well, this is something really small. This is Molly. This is something like really small and a little bit silly, but
awesome.
Ren has gotten together with a friend who's also been doing Hospital Homebound and he's ADHD as well, and doing some studying together, some helping each other, some parallel studying, which has helped. And so he has a little button. It's kind of like that, you know, that Staples button that they have on TV where you like
uh-huh.
press it and get. So, but this this is like bright magenta and it says sweet on it, and you slap it and it just goes sweet. And apparently the company also makes buttons, but that they have like an awesome button and a sweet button and a wow button. And he just like when he's completed something or does something, it's kind of his own personal like. It's like really silly, but like she really likes it, so I think I'm going to get her one.
I love it. I love it because it is silly, but we've got to celebrate. It's like gold stars. I had an adult client I worked with. This is not a joke, guys. Years ago, when I first started coaching, she was a judge, and she was struggling with getting her paperwork done. Big issue with adults with ADD is getting their paperwork done, judges and doctors, right? And she was having a hard time. We set up a star system. She started giving herself gold stars on her calendar, and it changed everything. But she needed some acknowledgement and celebration of what she was achieving, and a check mark wasn't it doing it for her. You know, some people are really motivated by checking off a list, right?
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of
yep.
us aren't, and a lot of our kids aren't. I love that. What else is coming up? What are you noticing?
Well, that totally made sense to me when you say saying you can do it actually causes more anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we have to phrase it carefully. And that's why I talk about it in terms of holding the vision. You know?
Yeah.
Because if you say you can do it and they really don't believe they can, then it's almost counterproductive. Because now they're disappointing you there too.
Right.
So it's sort of a delicate balance. So Andrea, well, I know you're on mute, so you may have some noise going on in the background, but I'm just curious how this connects, if you're open to it, how this connects to this issue of like how we say things and whether that puts people on the defensive. You know, whether it's starting with a positive or starting with a negative, or what's
okay.
Come up for you?
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. It's definitely me. I guess, you know, I'm not aware of what's going on in her mind. And so when I say something, I don't realize how it's hitting her.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with, she does get that anxiety because a lot of times if I mention something, it's something that she's been thinking about a lot, but she doesn't tell me, you know, she doesn't tell me she's working on it or been trying to do something about it. And so if I say something, it just like creates anxiety.
Right. Well, and it may be that she's feeling judged and you have no idea.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, and it may be that the answer is it's not possible, but I'm curious whether there's some way to sort of use celebrations to begin to shift the dynamic a little bit. Like,
yeah.
How do you feel you're doing on recognizing the little steps?
I definitely need to work on that. Seeing the little steps. I have to like focus and think about it to be able to see them. It's not a natural thing for me yet, and I have to find a way to get that process going like on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
Because like you said, I focus on the, you know, the goals and what we need to get done and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And hard for me to see the little steps.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the other thing I would offer, somebody who said earlier about doing versus being, is, you know, is maybe there's some celebration in the being. You know, you're being really sweet to your sister or your dad or to me right now. That acknowledgement, that celebration can be really powerful.
Yeah.
Right. I had a really good time going out with you today. That was really fun. That's a celebration.
Yeah, that's true. If I can just focus on the being.
Yeah, because they don't want to hear anything else about doing. From those of us parents who are checklist parents, right? There's plenty of doing in their world. They want some acknowledgement for who they be.
Yeah. I like that.
We had in an earlier call this week, and it was parents of younger kids, actually, we came up with the idea of doing a celebration journal. And you know how some people do gratitude journals at the end of every day? What are you grateful for?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we talked about maybe at dinner table conversation having a, you know, what do you want to celebrate from today kind of conversation at dinner? Or maybe what do you want to talk about tonight? Do you want to do gratitude or celebration? But just to begin to just sort of make celebrations a daily part of their world, letting them think about what they want to tell you about that they feel good about today. You know,
mm-hmm.
What happened today that made you laugh? What happened today that you feel good about? What happened today that that you feel good about, that you feel proud of, that made you know, what do you want to celebrate? But to help them begin to look for the positives for themselves too can be really powerful. The group we were talking about earlier about maybe putting up a whiteboard in the kitchen and just letting people write down every time there was a celebration and celebrating each other. Like you talked, Andrea, about starting your team meetings with compliments.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I
like that
know.
Idea. Like when you think of it, just write it down and so you can kind of collect them.
Yeah. Yeah. But the notion is it's like it's to really focus on the positive because we spend so much time looking at what's not done and what we have to do and what we've still left to do, what's remaining, like that sort of empty piece instead of really celebrating the fullness and the completion and the kindness. You know,
yeah.
Big thing is to acknowledge kids for being kind to each other or kind to us. Huge.
Yeah, that's
you know, you've
great.
Got a kid. Well, I was thinking about Amy, you know, your son's really responding to this political environment. And to acknowledge him for, I love how important it is to you that people be treated fairly or equally. I know that it's really hard to deal with this, but, this is something I love about you. It will help deflate it, the intensity, but also celebrating what it is, the core of that anger and fear he's got is a true compassion and kindness to others. Right?
Right. Yeah, it really is.
So I'm not sure where it does and doesn't connect with your various places of taking aim, but what were you going to say? Go for it.
This is Pamela. I was just going to say that two things. In our house, what I've done since Jonah was little is we always had the happy dance. I would basically have a big celebration over anything, even ridiculous things. And I'd be like, wow, I always had an exaggerated response. Wow, are you kidding me? Let's do the happy dance. Well, Jonah's 22 now. And a while ago, he said to me, you know, you never act like things are super wonderful anymore. And I said, you still want me to do the happy dance? And he's like, yeah. I was like, okay. So I thought that was funny. And then the second thing I'll share is Jonas struggles with depression, and his worldview is a lot different than mine. And he has a hard time breaking things down into sequencing and parts to get stuff done. And I find this is totally impacting celebrating because he just gets overwhelmed with, because he makes a lot of bad choices and a lot of bad decisions, and he has a lot of failures and mess ups and, you know, doesn't meet his own goals. And so he just gets overwhelmed, and he can't see by breaking it down that what happened this time is any different than what's happened in the past. And I find even though he's 22, I have to kind of mirror that back to him and remind him, well, you know, last time, now this time, that's really great, buddy. Look at this happened this time.
Yep. Well, and what I would offer to that, Pamela, and to sort of build on that, is the structure of always starting with, well, let's look at what worked first. And then we can look at what didn't work and what you might want to do differently. But whenever, like, you know, at the end of a term, when you're looking at report cards or you're looking at a paper that wasn't done or whatever achievement was not hit, to always try to start with, well, let's look at what worked first. What part of this worked? Because that's where the celebrations are and that's where the successes are. And that's where the solutions are for the future. And the other thing I want to say, just based on what you're saying about the happy dance, is that remember that our kids are motivated. One of their motivators is this sort of realm of creativity or play or humor. And, you know, when I look at my family and my 51-year-old husband and my, you know, 22-year-old teenager kid, right, play is a huge motivator for them still. And I look at my kids and I look at my husband and I know that play will always be a huge motivator for them. And so part of that happy dance is just playing, right? And they don't want to stop playing. These are brains that are motivated by it. And so, you know, it's not juvenile, it's playful. And if we can help them learn to attach and connect to play, it will serve them over time because it's a strong motivator for them.
Yeah, definitely. It's always tricky when you're a single mom of a man now.
I bet,
and you're in those places of where do I transition? So I just always, like I said to him, you know, I know you're a man, but would you like an Easter basket? He's very cool. My son wears black all the time. He's like very cool. And he looks at me and he gets this weird look and he goes, well, yeah. So, but I would recommend asking.
I think you're right. Ask permission, and but remember, playfulness. I read a piece not too long ago about sort of don't underestimate the value of immaturity or something.
Everybody's
so busy trying to grow up so fast. Believe me, they will grow up and they will handle all. I mean, they're going to have to deal with all the stuff we have to deal with, right? But there's something to be said connected to that playful, impish, immature. What did you start by saying today? Amy, I think you said he loses his sweet little mind, right? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there's still children, right? They're still children. They're young adults, but they're still children. And we have to remember that. So let's wrap up today with the final four. What did you focus on today? What are you taking away? What's your aha? What commitment might you want to make? And what will help you be successful with that commitment? Just take a minute. I know we haven't really tied in too much to the places that you were taking aim, but I'm confident that the conversation was constructive enough for you to take it forward. What are you taking away? What's your aha from today, and what commitment do you want to make?
So this is Amy. I'll just go quick. I think that, well, obviously just kind of having a name and a basic, you know, framework for what's going on with the emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the part about pointing out, you know, the good from it. And then I think I just need to stop there because sometimes I go too much. But
like trying to convince them to stop?
Not really convince him to stop, but I don't know. I just talk too much.
Yeah, I hear.
You know, but yeah, and I think just sort of that extreme with all the emotions, because like, the more I think about it, it is with all of them. But acknowledging it, it kind of goes back a few lessons we talked something about starting with acknowledging. Well, it's that ACE thing, right?
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah.
That acknowledgement, thing. Compassion, and then explore your options.
Right. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Anybody else? Ahas or commitments? So the commitment I heard from you just saying is to sort of let it land. And not talk, you know, not have to keep talking, but to sort of make the acknowledgement or the recognition, and then stop. Let the space handle itself.
Yeah. Let him just spin it out. I guess nobody's getting hurt yet.
Right.
So we'll get there.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
and going back to the beginning of the conversation, it is absolutely fair to put some parameters when there's safety involved.
Yeah, exactly.
No judgment,
okay.
Just when you're upset. Right. Nobody drives when you're too tired, when you're too upset, when you're too anything, you do not get behind the wheel of a car, period.
Okay. Got that.
Okay. Who else?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
This is Andrea, and I think what I focused on was my communication with my family, and the aha was, I think, trying to find the small successes by focusing on the being instead of the doing.
Great.
So I'm going to go with that. And I think I'm going to try to put up a little board or something where everybody can, like, you know, use a little post-it or something, and when they find successes or compliments or whatever, everybody can put them up there.
Mm-hmm.
Together.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Cool. Who else?
This is Molly. I think reflecting, one of the things you said to me in the taking aim part was about being present.
Yes.
And that's something I'm usually really good about, but I think I've realized my own anxiety level has been preventing me from doing that. So that's just a really good reminder and focus for me.
Great.
Great.
So do you have a commitment that you want to make to begin to shift that?
Yeah, I think I've kind of gotten out of the habit of doing my kind of meditating, centering prayer, and I need to do that. I actually bought over last week, I bought a little pocketbook of, she's a Buddhist nun, Pema Chodron.
Oh, yeah, she's awesome.
So it's just like a paragraph or two on each page. So
yeah.
I think to get back into it, maybe I'll just start that and just start with, it's just one small idea, one small, like, one paragraph thing.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
To read and meditate on.
Brilliant. Love it. Pamela, anything for you?
I think I'll pass for today since
okay.
I wasn't here earlier. Yeah.
It's okay. I hope you feel better.
Thank you.
I just want to just say thank you to all of you. I want to acknowledge you for really honest, transparent conversation, for really doing powerful work as parents and having these difficult conversations and having really honest, transparent conversations with yourselves and with each other. It is an inspiring place for me to get to the privilege to be with. And I learned a lot, and I thought it was a really, really powerful call. So thank you all for sharing yourselves and your families. I think Diane and I have one of us is doing office hours next week, and then we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
Have a great week, everyone. Take care.
Good.
You too.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.